also welcome the chair trustee of all and your delegation from the area. As it was our indication, formalizing it, that we perhaps if we could start with the internal matters. The apologies, the minutes, introductions, and all that. And then thereafter, then we can deal with the presentation. Start with the introduction. My name is Mandla Hai. I'm the chairperson of the Committee on Trade and Industry, Economic Development, Small Business Development, Tourism, Employment and Labour. So those are the departments that this committee oversight. I'll allow honourable members to introduce themselves.
Good morning to everybody. Sonia Bossa and Pumalanga.
May I ask parliamentary staff to introduce themselves?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Nozi Chiwo Jinzu. I'm the committee secretary.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Enrico Bazir and I'm the committee assistant.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Fopega Mtileni, committee section.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tashrik Muller, and I'm from PMG.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lomi Buma. I'm from a foundation called STOP.
Can we then ask the NAF to introduce? I see the members of staff that are not here, and I don't know why they're not here. The researchers and the content advice. Got two researchers and the content advice. Don't see them, and there's no one called. I don't know, maybe it's towards the end of the year. Okay. This is it.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Yusuf Seto. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the NAF, and I'm accompanied by my executive team here. And the reason why they're here is because they specialize in different provinces. So I was thinking that if there's going to be, you know, information that's going to be specific to the various provinces, that it could be useful to have them here. So I'll allow them to introduce themselves and briefly inform the committee about the work that they are doing at the NAF.
Thank you.
My name is Mzee Dalmani. I'm the General Counsel at the NEF. I look after the post-investment division that looks at the various investments that I also look after the legal department, that's all the legal services that the organization offers. Also look after what is known as the socio-economic development unit, where we provide support for broad-based groups and the communities, especially in the rural areas around the country. I also oversee the company secretary's office within the organization. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairman and members. My name is Noemi, Head of Marketing and Communications at AEF, and my function primarily is to help promote public and stakeholder awareness of the AEF's trade position.
Thank you very much. My name is Brenda Matibula. I'm representing the Office of the Board.
Sorry, Chair, for arriving late. My name is Lou Dumont Seshoga. I'm the content advisor for the committee.
Good morning. Apologies for being late.
Now the two gentlemen, because I commented about them when we're introducing the parliamentary staff. Honourable members, as I was indicating that we'll start with the internal matters, and it has been a principle now that we adopted that we start with the internal matters. Members had requested we should start with internal matters so that they also have an opportunity to engage yourselves informally after the meetings, if there's any reason to do so. With regard to the apologies, we have one apology from Honorable Tim Crescent. I don't have any other apologies. But I also want to indicate, Honorable Members, upfront, that due to the death of the King, King Zwelakhe, will be buried on Friday. There's a member of the appropriation, select the committee on appropriation, Honorable Solani Kiba, who's also related to the King. He has requested a leave of absence for this week, in fact, since last week. Now, as a result, I am the alternate to that committee. It has a meeting scheduled for this whole week. It started yesterday, so yesterday I was here attending that appropriations committee meeting. And the next meeting is at 12 this afternoon, so which I have to attend. Unfortunately, if for some reason there is no quorum, it's going to delay the passing of the adjustment bill, which will be hopefully passed on the 6th of December. If for some reason then there is no quorum, it means we will have to be here because the 6th will be the last day for Parliament. But if that adjustment bill is not passed, it means the following week must still be here. So I hope you understand. But if we don't finish by 12, then I will have to ask the Honorable Kenny Moiman to take over the chair. So that's what I to indicate that at 5 to 12, I will back in this seat to attend the appropriation committee meeting. Thank you. Let's deal then with the minutes. We start with the minutes of the 5th of November. We go page by page, so if there are any corrections or omissions. Page 1. Page 2. Got what the minutes of the 5th November. You got that? Okay. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Did you note anything there? Oh. Page 6. Page 7, which is the last page. Can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of minutes? Honorable Lord, seconded by Honorable Eric Lansman. Thank you very much. We go to the next set of minutes, dated the 12th November. We all have copies. Thank you. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5, the last page. Remover, the second with the adoption. Another launch.
Thanks, Jay. I just want to find out, we did ask as a committee that you write to each minister that falls under yourself, the same for the other chairperson, and specifically for this minister, for the non-attendant. Was that letter submitted and sent through to all the ministers?
I think that matters arising, isn't it? Let's first adopt the minutes and confirm them, and then we will deal with that specific issue. Honorable King. Second. Let me explain this particular issue. As I was indicating that on the 13th, I went to Kigali, Rwanda, and I had left instruction to the staff to write the letter and then send me copies of those letters before they are sent to one to the chairperson of the NCOB, to the Minister of Small Business Development, as well as to the to each of the ministers that we oversight. I think around Wednesday last week, I was concerned that because I didn't see any letters, from the staff to sign, and I sent because the only thing I could do. Because we're not allowed to roam, so I had to use the wire to send a WhatsApp to the committee secretary, indicating that I've not received any letters from as the instruction of the meeting, and the response was that it would be sent to me the following week. And when one letter was sent addressed to the chairperson, I didn't agree with the content, and it must be corrected. So it was corrected, but the other two were not reaching. The one to the minister concerned, as well as the other letters to each of the ministers. So it's a matter that I'm going to be following up on the management committee, because the instruction was given to the staff. So that has never been done, but it's not that it is my fault as a chairperson of the meeting, because I had to remind them when I didn't see these letters, because before they asked them to the ministers, I wanted to first check them and then sign them off. But without delaying the meeting, it's a matter that I'll be following up in the management committee.
Thank you, Chair. Can we just, for once this is concluded, just have a copy of those letters just so that the committee has that, and then just I see the last point on the minutes we've done now as well. I know that we also ask for a legal opinion on the revival of bills. I know last week we went to all the different provinces and where we are, we had the discussion to say, listen, is it just like a pause and play button? Do you have to restart it from scratch? And I know that was raised when I did my briefing in the province as well, that they would also want to see that legal opinion. So they will write through this committee assistance as well. But I would also just like to see that opinion before we take it forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll do that. Okay. The other two reports, honorable members, there's a report on the, you remember we visited the Selkirk employment enterprise. So whilst it was a kind of a committee meeting with the department, but it takes an element of oversight visit. So we need to have a report on that, which must then be tabled with recommendation to the House. Can we look at the report? I think it was circulated. The other report is the oversight visit that we conducted in Gauteng. Can we adopt those two reports? If not ready, then we can decide on the process. My feeling was that perhaps this year we must just do everything so that we start afresh next year. But if you're not ready to adopt those reports, we can defer them to next year. Another lot.
Jefferson, thank you. I am pretty efficient with my technology, and I think I might have missed that. So I don't know if the other members had the same problem as I had, and if we all had the same problem, then maybe it was wasn't set out. But at this stage, I'm not comfortable adopting the report from my side because I haven't gone through it.
No, in that case, then let's defer both reports to February next year. As our program starts in February next year. But so we have 2 months to go through the reports. Yeah, then we'll adopt it in February next year. Follow up? No, Honorable Mima.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to check because this was a joint work of the two select committees. Will members have a challenge when we deal with the report tomorrow? Probably what we just probably need to do is to check the legalities around that. But if there are no stumbling blocks, then we could probably then use today to go to the report and adopt the report in tomorrow's meeting.
No, let's check that because it can be adopted in any of the two committees because it was a joint visit. So if members, if they receive the report now and they're able to go through it, and can we check if the House, can we adopt it, the report tomorrow?
I would be happy to do that. If I can just ask, if it was sent, can it just be resent? I just checked with my two neighbours; they also didn't receive it. But if we've got the hard copy now, I would love an electronic copy as well. Sometimes easier when you read in the dark; you can still read it on your tablet.
No, definitely. I think before we leave, then it must definitely be sent, and so that you confirm receipt. So we'll try and adopt it tomorrow, but then the other one, the SEE one, it will be deferred to next year. All right. Thank you very much. It's going to be over to you now, Mrs. Tetra. I don't see your presence to be. You normally bring us presents or gifts. I'm going to give you 30 minutes to take us through the report. Members have received the report, thank you. And you'll perhaps highlight the key areas of the report. We've also been getting the reports as part of our oversight visit. The executive management that was part of the oversight visit in Gauteng, we went to Busamed. They gave us a report not only about Busamed, but about the NEF, the work that it is doing, process that you're funding. So even new members have an idea of what NEF is all about, when it was established, the achievements, the highlights. Yeah. So I'm trying to prepare you so that you do it within 30 minutes so that we allow members then to ask questions and then responses. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning once again to the Honorable Members. So thank you once again for this opportunity to engage with yourself directly since your esteemed election and appointment this year. So, Honorable Chair, we actually look forward to working with the committee just to inform the new committee members that this is like one committee that has continuously provided valuable guidance and oversight to the NEF, which has resulted in a set of truly solid achievements in the implementation of the NEF mandate, especially when it comes to the work that we are doing, especially in the rural and township economies. But also in what we refer to as the less, the economically depressed areas of the country. I don't think I would be doing justice, Chairperson, if I actually don't actually tell you about the track record of the people who are accompanying me today. Especially now that there has been this debate about whether people are qualified to be in the positions which they are, in at the moment. So it just gives me a sense of pride, Chairperson, to just inform you that on my right here, I have two young chartered accountants. The reason why I'm saying this is because we always say we don't have enough skills and expertise in the country, and I'm very proud to say we're actually able to move these young CAs from your Investex of this world, from other investment banking institutions, and they have decided to come and join the NEF because they believe in the mandate of the NEF. So it's not like they don't have, anywhere to go. And then on my right there, I have Zee Daimane. Can you raise your hand? He is an admitted attorney. We got him, he came from Cliff Decker. He has a lot of, corporate law background. And then on my left here, I'm with Moimise Mutsipe, who is our communications and marketing specialist. So I just thought I should mention that, Chairperson, because you always, I don't have to introduce myself. You can Google me and then you'll get more information about my background. But I'm just saying that we feel truly blessed to actually have this caliber of individuals, and you'll actually find some of the bigger institutions who also have been trying to poach them into much bigger roles. So thank you, Chairperson, once again. So we are aware that you have actually conducted site visits to I think, two of our investees, and we would like to do more of those site visits, chairpersons and honorable members, whenever you have you know, an opportunity in your diary, to do them even here in the Western Cape, where the NEF has you know, come up with a partnership with the Western Cape government. What they are doing, they have allocated a certain portion of funds to the NEF, where the NEF is now investing those funds in the economically depressed areas of the Western Cape. So it's a partnership between the NEF and the Western Cape government. So they said to us, you seem to be doing this SMME financing very, very well, and would like to partner with yourself. So, and the partnership has been going on now for almost 7 years. We have another partnership also with Ekurhuleni municipality in Johannesburg. So I'm just saying these things so that you'll understand that there will be underfunded areas in the country, but if we can come up with similar arrangements, I'm sure you'll actually begin to see a bit of traction happening in those provinces as well. But I'll take you through the other details. So, Honorable Khai and Honorable Members, so this section of the presentation will outline the key areas that I'm hoping to cover during our interaction today. And this will include the recapitalization challenges of the NEF. The NEF is not bankrupt, Honorable Chairperson, even though we have not received any funding from government for the last 10 years. We are not, you know, we are not bankrupt. We still have R1 billion in our bank account. So when we say we want to be recapitalized, we're just saying we have the capacity to do more, especially if you look at the huge demand that we are seeing from black companies in South Africa who are always knocking on our doors for additional funding. We're saying we have a lot of capacity internally to do more, to actually deploy more capital in partnership with our different partners that we have established partnerships with. We'll look at the highlights of the integrated report for 2018-2019 financial year and some of the provincial dynamics. So, Honorable Chairperson, just to refresh your memory that the NEF traces its mandate to the genesis of the BEE strategy that was crafted by the DTI back in 2003, which had a number of important pillars. As members are no doubt aware, the macroeconomic rationale for BEE as an integrated and coherent socioeconomic process aims at achieving significant increases in the numbers of black people that manage, own, control the country's economy. So we're not talking about the passive equity investments that were taken by other black companies. Here we're talking about companies that are owned and managed by black people. So we're saying we want to see the significant increase in the number of those people who will actually control some of those you know, sectors that we'll be highlighting later. So we do what we do, honorable members, because the NEF is the only DFI that is mandated exclusively to grow black economic empowerment. So we are the only entity that was given the exclusive mandate of supporting black enterprises in South Africa. It doesn't mean that other DFIs are not supporting black companies, but the only differentiator is that we exclusively focus on black-owned companies. But also, Chairperson, sometimes would encourage partnerships between black and white companies, but the only difference is that black people would have to own the majority equity or shareholding in those. So black have to own 51% or more in the entities that we support. So So we provide capital of between 250,000 and we take it all the way up to 75 million. But if it's more than 75 million, we'll then co-fund those projects in partnership with both our local and international partners. So you visited BUSA. BUSA is the partnership, BUSA Med, which is the hospital group that was supported by the NEF. That is the partnership between NEF, Standard Bank, and the PIC. In fact, there's the Eskom pension fund that has just, participated in some of the equity that has been made available. It was a small project where we started by investing small equity portion of about 10 million rands. We took it to 75 million rands, and at financial close, that's when we invited other funders. And the total value of those hospitals is estimated it's about 3 billion rand. So it just talks to the power of partnerships, Chairperson. That's why I'm actually highlighting the financing structure that was adopted when funding BUSA. So slide 7 just talks about some of the macroeconomic objectives of our country that we have always, tried to align our, strategy with. And that we also, when we look at projects, we use a sector-targeted approach where we have put a lot of emphasis on tourism, construction, agro-processing, transport, the fourth industrial revolution, creative industries, mining services, franchises, property and student accommodation, mining services, rural and township economies, among various others. So we specifically seek to support the initiatives of the DTI, including IPEP, and more broadly the National Development Plan. You'll actually see, when we get to the various examples about how we have supported these initiatives. So slide 8 is looking at our strategic objectives. So this will be covered in our strategic plans that we submit to Parliament on an annual basis, where our objectives will include KPIs like advancing BEE, maximizing empowerment dividend, establishing the NEF as a financially sustainable DFI, and optimizing non-financial support. Slide 9, these are some of our guiding principles. We have already mentioned that we fund black-owned and managed businesses. Job creation is a key strategic driver for us, in that in every investment that we look at, we want to see the additionality. So how will it help us to achieve additional jobs for our economy? Also critical to the work of the NEF is the empowerment of black women, both in urban and rural settings. So we have found a model of taking empowerment to the rural areas, because we were saying as the NEF that you can't just sit, at our offices and hope that those black rural women will find a way of participating. So we will actually go to the rural areas and educate our black people about how to invest, how to put together a business plan, where are the investment opportunities, and so on. So we are also among the first DFIs to establish the Women Empowerment Fund. Our support for youth has also seen traction with the entry into the arena of the fourth industrial revolution, where we have funded some truly game-changing and visionary ideas. Our dedicated Rural and Community Development Fund has also seen the NEF rewrite the script in terms of making our villagers shareholders in hotels, in shopping malls. We will actually share some of those examples and show you how we have been able to establish and support entrepreneurs in Nkumbu to own a shopping mall. There's one in Nkumbu, there's one in Guamashu. As you drive into Guamashu, there's a big shopping mall there, which is actually owned by a black community. There's one in Orange Farm in Johannesburg. It's also exciting to inform the committee that that one is, so we have a lot of those. So our national office network is the reason why the NEF chairperson has increased its invested presence in localities that commercial financiers in particular are reluctant to reach. Every month, the NEF employees are somewhere in a village or township spreading the word on how to save and invest. On slide 9, this is just the organizational structure, chairperson. If there are any questions, but I won't go through that one. Slide 11, these are our human capital highlights. As I mentioned earlier, that we have employed CAs, we have master's degrees, we employ engineers, chairperson, young engineers, because you'll see that with the work we're doing in the black industrialist space, you need a lot of engineering skills and expertise there in terms of the putting together pre-feasibility studies and taking those projects all the way through to bankable feasibility and financial close. We are proud of the fact that 61% of the employee complement at the NEF is female. And 44% of our MENCO members are women. Chairperson, just for the new members, just to remind them that before we took over, there were two black males, black male CEOs, who were appointed at the time. But when I arrived, they had only concluded transactions that were worth 30 million rands. So it's been a long way for us. So, Honorable Chairperson, even though the NEF places an important focus on commercial viability, we also focus on softer measures in assessing our applications. As I said earlier, in every transaction, we want to see the women empowerment component, we want to see the geographic spread, we want to see job creation, community involvement in a project, and so on. So if you look at those softer measures, let's say we are looking at your pricing policy. If your project is located in, for instance, Mamlele, or Kumbu, or Ofimvaba, or Mashabatini, or Makau, so that project will actually get better pricing from us. So, for instance, pricing, the interest rates that will be applied to that particular project. So if your project is not giving us any additional, there's no additionality, so you'll find that you'll price it at prime plus 2 or prime plus 3. But if we're able to get all of these things in one project, we're able to then price it at about, you know, prime or even prime less minus something. So this is what we give back to the people who will be putting together those types of projects that will allow us to employ, you know, more of our young people. You'll see in the video later on. Slide 13, this is our life-to-date performance. We have approved over 1,000 transactions that are managed and controlled by black people that are worth more than 10 billion across the country. I'm sure you'll be thinking, Chairperson and honorable members, so you have actually done more than 10 billion across the country or approved. Where did this funding come from? Because we only received funding of 2.4 billion from our government that was since inception. We had to find another creative and innovative ways of raising money directly from our other partners in the private sector, Chairperson. Over the same period, the NEF has disbursed 6.8 billion into the economy, and about 3.5 billion has been repaid by our investee companies. So we shouldn't listen to the naysayers when they say some of our black-owned companies don't repay the money. They have actually, they've been, you know, diligent in terms of servicing their loans to the NEF. We have secured clean external audit opinions for 16 years running, and this attests, Chairperson, to our commitment to good governance, corporate governance, and international best practice. A total of 99,736 jobs have been supported through our investments. We have developed 24 strategic and black industrial projects that are worth 13.2 billion, with a potential to support over 55,000 jobs. So when I say with a potential to, you'll see that with Busamed, we started with one hospital, and then it increased to two hospitals, three hospitals, five hospitals. So we look at the project, and then we look at the potential to create additional jobs. So even though we'll start with the first phase, second phase, third phase, we look at the totality of jobs that will be created as a result of that particular project. And Chair, in a, Honorable Chair, in a transaction that is worth over 1 billion, the NEF Asongi share scheme, we were able to sell more than 12 million MTN shares to over 87,000 investors that were comprising black individuals and groups. This was a retail offer. So the NEF had a small equity stake in MTN, and we were able to create a retail offer that allowed us to reach over 87,000 beneficiaries across all the nine provinces in our country. From 2012 to date, business skills training has been provided to over 3,601 potential entrepreneurs. We will go to the townships and villages and educate people about how to put together a business plan. So, Honorable Members, we are proud of these milestones, because what it says about the NEF is that when we were not able to receive funding from our government because of fiscal constraints, we were able to actually find ways of different ways, innovative and creative ways of supporting our black entrepreneurs by entering into partnerships with our different partners. Slide 14, Chairperson, evident from this chart is that the cumulative approved value since inception to 30 September 2019 is more than 10 billion rands. So I was just showing you that even though we say NEF has been in existence since 2003-2004, in essence, the NEF started with its operations in 2007-2008, because there wasn't really much that was happening during the initial phases of establishing the entity. Slide 15. What this slide shows, Honorable Members, is a consistent and determined rise in the value of transactions approved and dispersed over the past 10 years, and this attests to the assertion that the NEF, in our view, is a high-performing organization that, despite all of the challenges, we've still been able to support our people in various ways. This is just a collections slide to show you how much has been collected. So when you invest the funds, disperse the funds directly into the economy, how much of those funds have actually come back to the NEF. Slide 17. Honorable Members, this slide demonstrates the high levels of activity at the NEF. In the previous financial year alone, over 1,400 black businesses approached the NEF, and they were seeking funding of over 11 billion rand. So, Chairperson, all we are saying here is that there's a huge appetite out there from our black entrepreneurs to actually get funding, because they are not saying government should fund them. All they are saying is, if you are a DFI, your role should be about becoming a catalyst for investments or for foreign direct investment in the economy. So our role has always been the one of actually de-risking the projects before you can take them to the commercial sector. For instance, if you don't have any collateral, there's no way you can just wake up as a black entrepreneur and say you'll approach one of the big four or big six banks. So our role has been, the one of de-risking, and then we actually go and approach the commercial banks, because with the funds that we have been able to disperse, the NEF has been able to unlock 8.8 billion rands in additional funding. So, and the way we do that, we'll say, if a project is worth 100 million, we will invest our initial 40 million and then take it to the commercial banks for additional funding. So this is how the 2.4 billion has been able to actually unlock additional value for us in the economy. Slide 18. So what this slide shows is that the NEF chairperson is a funder that has been trusted by many. Like to date, the NEF has attracted well over 8 billion in third party funding for our investees from a combination of public and private sector partners. Last year alone, we were able to leverage a total of 782 million rands from additional funding that comes to co-invest with us in our projects. So there's an average leverage of about 60% in most of the transactions that we've been supporting as the NEF. So, honourable members, we do not limit our funding only to SMEs, but we seek to see black people also owning major corporations to become industrialists and to contribute to the country's growth. For this reason, the NEF, we fund across the economic spectrum with investment funds dedicated to supporting SMEs, women-owned businesses, rural and community-owned businesses, medium-sized corporates, as well as potential industrial players. So if you come to the NEF as an SME, we want to go through the development curve with you. So we will invest in your company as an SME, and then we'll grow that company to becoming a medium-sized company, and one day to actually becoming a global player in that particular sector. A question that we have to contend with sometimes, Chairperson, is whether there isn't any duplication and mandate creep amongst DFIs. To us, we can always listen to different arguments. But if you look at that slide, everybody has a specific mandate within the DFI landscape. You have CIFA that is focusing on SMME, you have the IDC that is focusing on the creation of new industrial capacity, you have the NEF that is the implementer of the broad-based BEE codes of good practice, essentially supporting black-owned enterprises. You have the land bank that is focusing on agriculture, providing funding to agro-processing and agriculture, and the DBSA that is focusing on infrastructure development. So all we are saying there is that we believe if we still receive about 1,400 applications per annum from black companies, it means there's still a gap in the market and a role that must be played by institutions like the NEF. At the heart of the mandate of the NEF chairperson is also the resolve to address and mitigate the challenges and market failures that typically confront black entrepreneurs. And these market failures, so I think it's still gonna take us another 50 years, Chairperson, to close the gap between white-owned and black-owned businesses, because it talks to the lack of access to affordable finance, because if you are a black company, it would be extremely difficult for you to actually have your collateral.
because it's highly unlikely that you would have inherited something from your parents. So it's lack of access to affordable finance, is the lack of collateral, sometimes lack of accurate and reliable information, a lack of access to local and international markets, poor or inadequate specific industry knowledge. So this is the gap that we are trying to fill as the NEF, in that we have come up with products that are beginning to address some of these issues that that I have listed here. There's limited or no equity contribution and low asset base and low bargaining power as well, Chairperson, because if you are, let's say, a general dealer that is based, who is based in Gwalanga, you will not have the buying power to actually source your products, because if you source your products, you must be in a position to source those products in, you know, in huge amounts. So you'll actually see when we talk about the work we're doing in our township economies, how we have now begun to address that challenge.
Can I give you another 20 minutes? I know you're still going to show us a video.
Okay, so let me just thank you, Chairperson. So our work, Chairperson, is very exciting, so it's very difficult for us. We're just so looking forward to this engagement with yourself. So slide 23, these are the main offerings. In terms of support for black industrialists, we have now invested about 900 million where we are developing industrial projects. 25 of these are under development, while 5 are operational businesses. That have created over 3,600 jobs, and we have leveraged 4.3 billion there. The mainstay of the NEF funding track record has been in supporting SMEs through a dedicated fund that supports entrepreneurship, procurement, and franchise funding. And this is the fund that provides business planning, incubation, training, and mentorship support. To date, NEF has disbursed over 1.6 billion. Into the support of 454 small and medium enterprises. I referred earlier, Chairperson, to our passion for township and rural economies, and through a dedicated fund there, we support businesses in these localities. We have disbursed over 1.7 billion for the support of our township and rural economies, where we have been involved in the construction of properties, shopping malls. The NEF has supported more than 130 petrol stations, and we are involved in the tourism industry as well. So when we talk about the work we are doing within the petroleum sector, Chairperson, so we say we have supported more than 130 petrol stations, that is in all the 9 provinces. You'll think, oh, maybe a petrol station is small, but it makes a difference when it's managed and controlled by a black woman or by a black, you know, person, because in every petrol station, you know that you'll be able to create more than 25 jobs per petrol station. So we have to be thankful to the oil majors, the petroleum companies in South Africa, because they have been supporting the NEF. So what Shell, BP, and them would be doing, they will invest their funding for SMEs with the NEF, and we will then support the petrol stations on a 60-40 basis. So if a petrol station is worth 10 million rand, the NEF will invest 60% of the funding, and the petrol company will put in the equity and provide the other 40%. So it has actually assisted us in alleviating the difficulty of not having the collateral for our black people who want to own and manage those petrol stations. Affordable housing and student accommodation, because of the need that we have identified in the sector for student accommodation, we have already supported about 6 of those in about 4 provinces. We've just opened the new one in Venda, University of Venda. We have another one, the University of Johannesburg. We are building another one next to VIP and CUT. So it would be great to visit those as well, Chairperson. So agricultural value chain, we've been processing the castor oils, fruit juices. We wanted to bring these products because we get them at no cost, so that you could see, get a, you know, look and feel of what we've been involved in. But we're just worried about a conflict of interest. And then, Chairperson, in the creative industry, we've done a lot of, supported a lot of films, like The Long Walk to Freedom. Was funded by the NEF in partnership with the DTI. We've done The Zulu Wedding, which is a bestseller at the moment. If you go to, if you go, sorry? Yes, we supported that one, and there's another one which just received a nomination for the Oscars in the US. Hlengwe will talk to it. Hlengwe, can you quickly go through the non-financial support, and then we quickly tell the story regarding the recapitalization journey of the... No, no, no. In fact, Hlengwe will talk about the recapitalization journey, and we will talk about the non-financial support. So, Mzi, maybe you'll start non-financial support, and then Hlengwe. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. If we can go to slide number 24, talk about non-financial support. So the NEF, we provide a number of products that actually cater for non-financial support. We've got what we call the pre-investment department. That's the department which is the first entry point to the NEF. If you go to the NEF, you actually don't need to make an appointment. We have colleagues who are always waiting for people to service them. Someone who approaches the organization does not necessarily need to have a business plan. Our colleagues actually walk the journey with the entrepreneur themselves. We've got what we call a business planner tool, which is a tool that actually assists an entrepreneur to put together a business plan. What they need is to have a business concept that can be commercialized, and we'll actually take them step by step to actually deal with each and every requirement that needs to be made to for them to be able to commercialize their opportunity. So the pre-investment unit product provides that kind of a service, and they advise in terms of the products that the NEF offers as an organization, whatever kind of funding ranging from rural development financing, going to township economy, every kind of developmental aspects of the NEF mandate is provided within the organization. The socio-economic development unit, that's the unit where we provide assistance to broad-based group. We go to the rural areas, we get together communities, we help them to form into corporate structures that will actually exploit whatever opportunities are available within their own communities. For instance, we'd have something like a dairy farm which operates in a place called Middle Drift in the Eastern Cape, in the rural areas there. We got that community together. We help them to actually conceptualize the project. We link them up with entities like Clover, which is actually buying their products. We actually make sure that the economic activity that is done through the land, which is owned by those communities, is productive, so that the development aspects like bursary schemes and also community businesses are formed, so that those people can actually have economic opportunities within their own communities. The post-investment department, we provide support to the projects that the NEF has funded. Each and every project that the NEF funds, we actually do what we call an assessment of that project to see what are the gaps that they have, to identify areas of mentorship that need to be provided, and also other areas of weaknesses within the business. The NEF has got a mentorship scheme. We provide mentorship free of charge to our clients. That's one of our non-financial support that we provide. It differentiates us from other financial institutions because we get a panel of mentors. These are retired business people So we get business people who've run successful businesses in the past, and we actually link them up with the entrepreneurs that we finance, because we have accepted that the person that is funded by us will not necessarily have all the requisite skills. They might have the passion to run the business, but they might lack in a certain area like financial management or marketing. So we'll get a relevant mentor that will actually fulfill areas where there is a gap within that particular business, and we actually fund that particular offering to ensure that we increase the chances of sustainability of the enterprises that we finance. And then we also provide what we call ongoing monitoring of transactions. Every transaction that we fund, we monitor it on a monthly basis. We visit those transactions. We see, we keep our pulse on the transactions so that we can see when things are actually not going according to plans, and we are able to put timeous interventions within those businesses. So that's part of the offering that we provide through the post-investment unit. We also provide what we call legal compliance. We ensure that the businesses that we fund are legally compliant with the environmental laws, with the corporate laws of the country, and we actually ensure that we provide the necessary support and the funding that enables those businesses to be able to meet the legal requirements of operating in their various fields. The turnaround, workouts and restructuring unit, that's a unit that provides support to distressed transactions. So what we are saying, Honorable Chairperson, is that sometimes in business things will go wrong. So some businesses will go through difficulties. So that unit actually provides support so that when a business gets distressed, we will fund an intervention that actually does the turnaround intervention. Sometimes we'll get a technical partner or a turnaround expert that will second to that particular business to be able to manage that business during those distressed times. And we've seen a lot of businesses. There's a business, for instance, in Limpopo that employs over 300 people. Had we not done interventions in that particular business, it would have closed down. But we've managed to actually send one of the colleagues from our head office in Johannesburg, seconded them to the business to be able to support the management. And we actually ensure that we provide the business with marketing. That business provides fresh produce to large parts of Limpopo, including the likes of the churches there, like the ZCC. So it's got a lot of support base, and it employs a lot of people, and we've managed to actually turn it around. It is now that business making profits, and we can see that going into the future, there are opportunities for it to expand going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. So on the issue of NEF recapitalization, I think the CEO summarized it very well in the beginning that the NEF is not bankrupt, but we know that there's higher demand for our work. So the NEF was originally given 2.4 billion rands. Government had committed to capitalize NEF to the tune of 10 billion rands, but due to fiscal constraints and you know, competing priorities, the NEF could not get the rest of the money. And the reason the NEF has been able to continue funding businesses is because we have a very strong non-financial support. We make sure that our clients are able to pay us back. So if you look at the 2.4 billion that we originally got, the 3.5 billion that we've been able to get back from our clients talks to the close to 7 billion rands that we've been able to deploy into the economy, because on top of that, we were able to, you know, secure money from partners like the Western Cape government, Department of Tourism, and the private sector partners. So, and also, you know, because we are very diligent in how we manage our expenses, we've continuously seen some surpluses, which has allowed us to continue investing despite not getting additional capital. So when the NEF, you know, went back and forth with government on the issue of capitalizing, highlighting what we're highlighting on slide 36, the key risks of not funding the NEF, which talks to, you know, a crisis for black entrepreneurs, because as the CEO was highlighting, the leverage and the catalytic role that the NEF plays in de-risking the project is critical for black entrepreneurs. So we wouldn't have, you know, over the 100 service stations owned by black people if there wasn't the NEF, because the NEF was able to negotiate deals on behalf of black entrepreneurs with this all these oil majors. So if the NEF does not have capital to leverage and negotiate for black entrepreneurs, we'll have that crisis. In 2013-14, the NEF had to declare a moratorium where we could not, you know, take additional applications, because at the NEF, we do not want to be in a crisis. We do not want to be in a situation where we've approved more money than we have in the bank account. So sometimes people will ask, why do you guys have a billion and then you say you don't have cash? It's because we have commitments. So we have approved transactions. And in the nature of our business is that because we want businesses to be sustainable, in most instances, once we've approved money for you, we don't give you all the money upfront. So sometimes there are milestones to make sure that you safeguard the resources and we hold your hand through the growth and development of your business. So although the cash is currently in our bank account, it's committed to the approvals that we have already made as the NEF. So that's why we had to declare a moratorium, because we didn't want to continue approving transactions beyond what we have as uncommitted cash. And the other, you know, risk that we see that will come with the NEF continuously not being fully capitalized is people's perceptions around government's commitment to, you know, broad-based black economic empowerment, because as highlighted earlier on, the NEF is the only organization with the sole mandate of supporting black businesses. And it does threaten, you know, that the collapse of the organization, because as I was saying, we have a lot of, you know, young professionals who are highly mobile, so the uncertainties that are around whether the NEF is able to reach its full capacity does pose a risk of people then going to, you know, explore other opportunities out there in the market. And it could also, you know, because it sort of puts into question commitments to transformation, it could also dissuade the private sector entities, because some of the partners that we approach for enterprise development and enterprise and supply development funding, they do raise the issue of NEF capitalization to say, what if we commit money towards partnering with you guys and then you don't get money to match us? So that also, you know, creates those challenges for us. So the minister, the then Minister of Finance in 2014, looking at the challenges that you know, the fiscus has in terms of money, then suggested that there should be an exploration of some sort of business combination between the NEF and the IDC to actually help alleviate these challenges of funding and capitalization of the NEF. So a project called Project Kobano was instituted in 2014, and in 2017, the previous Minister of Trade and Industry and the then Minister of Economic Development, who is now Minister of both, signed an agreement with high-level terms and conditions of how, you know, the business combination has to happen. In March 2017, the same year, the IDC board approved the facility for the NEF to, it was sort of a bridging facility to help the NEF continue responding to the demand of funding that was in the market. Unfortunately, the NEF could not draw down on that facility, because there were two key conditions that could not be met. The first one was that Cabinet had to endorse the process that was happening of the business combination, and secondly that because the NEF is a Schedule 3 entity, for it to take other people's money, it needs approval from National Treasury. So those two conditions could not be met, and so the facility was not accessed, and the NEF had to use the resources that it had in its disposal. So hence you see that, you know, although our highest approvals were at about 1.3 billion in the past 2 years, we are doing between 500 million and 600 million, because we have to wait for the reflows from our clients and use those reflows to then commit to new clients. The IDC subsequently approved the second facility, We're still, you know, the negotiations around the facilities are still ongoing, but another key, requirement from the facilities is still the endorsement of cabinet. And on the last slide, on slide 38, just shows that, you know, in our view, honourable members saw that at our peak in 2012-13, we were able to approve 1.3 billion in that one financial year. So our view is that the NEF can comfortably, do transactions worth 1.5 billion per annum. And our thoughts, having engaged with different partners, is that, you know, we still need to get some allocations directly from government because of all the other work we have to do in terms of non-financial support, in terms of the patient capital that we have to give to our black entrepreneurs, but also then combine that with some funding from the IDC, which comes obviously at a cost, and also funding or the UIF funding that is currently being managed by the PIC to then allow the NEF to touch as many and contribute to the growth of black business.
Thank you, Chairperson. So the next slide we're just showing, this is our unencumbered cash position. As we mentioned earlier, that our actual cash to date is sitting at about 1.2 billion as at 30 September 2019. I'm sure the CFO will provide the revised numbers. But as Hlengiwe has already mentioned, this is there is a portion in that amount that is already encumbered. So, which means that that would be an amount that is already committed. Yeah. Next slide. So here we're just showing you, honourable members, that the NEF is a partner that is trusted by many. People would not have entrusted us with the responsibility of managing their funds if they didn't actually have confidence in our ability, you know, to manage the funds. This is just a suite of different sectors, different entities that have actually provided, that particular support to the NEF over a period of time. So this is how we have survived. Next. And these are the private sector entities who've been working closely with the NEF. I will stop here, Chairperson, and just play the videos and then take questions. Thank you.
While we're still setting up, let me take this opportunity to welcome first the Honourable Mosoti, but also welcome the Youth Chamber of Commerce and Industry, the young people there behind the members there. I'm told they are from the Eastern Cape. I want to declare I've got nothing to do with their coming here. Yes, so they came to listen because they are also future entrepreneurs. So they will be visiting your offices in future. They've heard that they don't have to even make appointments. They can just pop in. They will be assisted. We welcome.
This will be the examples that we wanted to show you of some of the investments we've done in different areas. Yeah, short video.
The bus industry in South Africa has for many years made a vital contribution to the economic and social development of the country, providing mobility to millions of people who depend daily on public transport. in line with its mandate of growing black exports. The bus industry in South Africa has for many years made a vital contribution to the economic and social development of the country, providing mobility to millions.
I think some of us have seen it before, if it's on the one of the red bus, the company. Yeah, I remember this. But you will... Yeah. Maybe they are updated as well. So don't worry. Perhaps let's take this opportunity to thank you, the CEO, even though I had allocated time, but I could see the person. But also, I know when you prepare a report, then you are limited in terms of presenting, so that's why I was flexible. But then there's enough time for members also to ask questions. Perhaps at the end of the questions, we may see the video. So you keep on trying, and then after the question have been answered, then we can perhaps see the video. Can we allow then honourable members to ask questions? Honourable Lont, Honourable Matibula. Honourable Professor, maybe let's start with you, Honourable Professor.
Can we start with
this direction?
Honourable Long first, please.
Oh, okay. are there any other hands? Honourable Landsman, Honourable Kenny, Honourable Long.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've raised this in the committee in the past as well, and my concern is that we come here and we put all kinds of figures on the board, and it's only a rosy picture that gets painted, and yet our unemployment rate keeps on growing in the country. And if you look at the, there's nothing that you raised here that is concerning. There's nothing that you do wrong. So if there's nothing that you do wrong or nothing that's of concern, then why is it that we sit in an economy that's struggling so much and we're not addressing the unemployment? One of the slides you've indicated that you've created 3,600 jobs opportunities. I don't have the number now, but then you also raised that you funded 130 filling stations or petrol stations employing 25 people per filling station. If you just do the quick numbers, that's already 3,250 job opportunities. You say you've disbursed just over 10 billion. The numbers doesn't speak to one another. Somewhere there is there's a gap. And my concern that I've got is, you come here, CEDA come here, CIFA come here. In the past we've heard what Land Bank does, and there's not a coordinated approach from all of these development finances that you do, so that there's no double dipping. You didn't even touch on that to ensure that you don't fund people twice that maybe get their money elsewhere. We sit with a bloated public service sector, but nothing prevents you, CEDA, CIFA, others to have a more streamlined approach. It's sort of like everybody is just fighting in their own lane, covering their own bases, and not actually fulfilling the mandate of making sure that the money goes out and reach the people that actually need it. So that's just my intro, Chairperson. There's the restructuring and turnaround unit. I would like to know what percentage of the businesses that you fund actually end up there, and then what is your success rate of turning that around? It's all good and well talking about the theory, but I want to know what's the outcomes that you do have there. I'm concerned that when you say you just don't need an appointment to go into the NEF, because that means either somebody is sitting idly waiting for people to walk in the door, or maybe there's some other important work that gets put to the side. I mean, any organization, any business that runs, there needs to be some kind of structure. And it just seems like this is a haphazard, as you go along, let's see who comes across, assist them, and move along. I mean, that just doesn't sound efficient. I did touch on the failure rate of the businesses. At least the first one that I said, I mean, what are the three worst investments you've made, let's say, over the past 5 years? And what have you learned from that? What's the monetary value behind that? Because you also need to say, listen, the reasons why it failed, maybe we can then, if you don't liaise with other departments, raise it with other departments. While you are here, you need to work. But as I said earlier, there's the massive concern about streamlining. Jay, I'll stick to that for now and wait for the responses, and then we can take the second bite.
Thank you very much, Chair. My first question will be, I just like to know, Corey, how many black rural women and youth have you assisted in the form? If you don't have the stats now, maybe you can send it to the committee secretary so that we can visit all those projects that you have assisted. And then in your presentation here, you have mentioned that you'll be going to villages to assist them also with what you are doing. So I'd like to know, for which village have you planned to visit in the Bombo? When are you going to visit them so that I can be part of a team, so that I can be able to bring other people along to get your services? And then the third one, I'd like to know, Corey, do you have offices in rural municipalities now? If you don't have, what is your plan to establish those offices in rural municipalities? Because most of the time you'll find out your offices are far away from the people. Let's say, for example, if I'm from Giyan, the office is in Polokwane. It's not easy for people, or those who doesn't work, to go to Polokwane. It's far, far away from them. So I'd like to know whether you have plans to establish your offices in rural municipalities so that people can have access of those. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honourable Professor.
Thank you very much, Chair. My colleague has touched on most of my questions, but what I would like to know is, you speak about 3,601 potential entrepreneurs that you reach through 210 seminars on slide 13. Could you tell us how many of these are currently still up and running? how many of them have started their businesses, and how many have these businesses been able to, how many people have they been able to employ? And how many of these people that attended these entrepreneurial seminars have failed? And what do you do once people have attended and they've started up a business and they fail? Do you have like a program that reaches out to them to assist them, and not just the seminar? And then on slide 15, the total approvals in comparison to the commitments and the eventual disbursements. It's of concern to me that $3.9 billion in total was not dispersed. Could you expatiate why, and where is the money there now? And then with regard to the Graskop Gorge coming from Mpumalanga, on slide 23, you say that you invested $200 million in this project. What have the returns been? And if I may give my 10 cents worth, there is so much more potential with this gorge. You could reach out to the owner of the project, or the manager, or whatever you may call them, to have these walking trails at the bottom extended, because it's a very short trail and it's such a beautiful area. Those walkways, it just gives you a sense of peace, but it's just too short. And then just on the opposite side of the gorge, we have the big swing. Have you reached out to the big swing to say to the people, once they're at the bottom, we can get you to the top via the lift and back to your point of departure at a minimal cost? Because then you are, these people are able to make more money and more people can be employed. The other thing at the gorge that's problematic is it's a tourist destination, but the restaurant closes at 5 o'clock. It should stay open after hours. And then more people could still be employed. If we could just have a look at that. And then slide 46. You speak of some projects not active, even though money has been dispersed. And what is the legal term under status? There's active, there's non-active, and there's legal. If we could just have some clarification on that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Lansman.
Good morning, thank you, Chair. Good morning, CEO and the team. Firstly, let me appreciate the work that you are doing as a team. The fact that you are out of the eyesight of the Auditor General for more than 12 years, you are getting good reports. The fact that you are not on the wrong side, like the big picture that is painted about some of our municipalities, most of it. So on that front, we first need to appreciate and say thank you for your team as black professionals that is doing well and keeping up the good work. And secondly, let me take pride and comfort in congratulating you on, amongst your 170 staff, you have 15 chartered accountants, 16 master's degrees, 5 engineers, 22 honors degrees, bachelor's degrees, 10 LLB with 9 admitted attorneys, and on all those few ones others. That fact on its own, it's a move in the right direction. It's positive for us. We are happy to see such beautiful things. We are happy to see such people are still employed. On its own, that is a job well done. Let's start there, to first appreciate that on its own, that 170 people in your institution, because you are not getting a lot like other institutions, getting, still you are succeeding of making sure those people are sustaining themselves and finding themselves in a option of NFP, NEP. So continue the good work. Yes,
we need you to open up more bigger when it comes to unemployment inequality, especially amongst the black people in society. Because whether we like it or not, they say South Africa is the worst in the world, then Namibia is second worst. Because Namibia just left us about 30 years back when it comes to inequality. So the rich are getting richer and the poor are becoming more poorer. So how do we, focusing on that, you have the right team, you have the right skills, you have the plan, how do we go to government and the rest of society? Well, the word you were saying earlier of, let me not use unbundling because I don't know the vision behind those investors. Let me use of expanding your scope, of catering towards job creation initiatives. Because for now, when I look through your book, the one you have submitted to us, yes, this one is good when you look at all those people that you have helped and the sponsors. It's good, but what we need is to say, is there not maybe something that you are that you can do, but we are not doing it, basically because you are also not getting enough funds to do the necessary work. We can't expect you to do too much when you don't get funds from government compared to the other parastatals. But so far, what the work that you have been doing and the fact that you have your books are clean, lift your shoulder up high, continue with the good work. As a woman leading the team, we are proud of you and you have our support. Yes, let's pull up our socks where we can. Unemployment is a crisis in the country. It's a crisis in America. It's a crisis everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lansman, Honorable Moima.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Let me also start by expressing my appreciation in terms of the leadership role that the CEO is providing in terms of redirecting this fund to where it is most needed to ensure that it addresses some structural constraints in terms of empowering those historically disadvantaged communities. But particularly in terms of areas that are identified both in the mandate, the strategic objectives, and also the impression created around the non-financial support. I think that must be commended, CEO. I'm more concerned about the fact that there are two conditions that have not been met in the last, following the commitment that was made by the minister. What is it that the team can impress upon the chairperson of the select committee to do to ensure that cabinet approval indeed materializes, because it has been identified as a stumbling block. I think there are two conditions that were raised by Mayor Hlengwa as two areas that have to a certain extent frustrated the finalization of the recapitalization. I think that is the first point. Clear areas that has to be done by this committee through the chair. The third one relates to your provincial spread. I think I'm both at slide 31, particularly the investor education and geographic spread. The question that I want to pose is the concern around your concentration in Gauteng at the expense of
evenly spread, particularly those rural provinces. I see your presence in my province is 2.1%, Gauteng is 46%. So probably, I think what you could probably just do is address that spread, because it has been identified as a concern. I see, yeah, KwaZulu-Natal is 15%, Western Cape is 12%, Eastern Cape is 7%, and then Limpopo at 6, and then Mpumalanga at 5, Northwest 4, Free State and Northern Cape is 2%. I think this is against your target that you have set of 19%, particularly in those rural provinces. Maybe the CEO can just probably make a reflection in terms of that. The last concern definitely will be then around the impact and the risk that is faced by the NEF, particularly around your disbursement. Your net right of assets. I think the CEO can probably just make a reflection on that. The impairment provision and right of charges, which obviously is of a concern, and I think the CEO can probably just share a light on that. And also the fact that your operating deficit, as reflected in your 2019 financial year, if you could probably just give us just a reflection on that, and lastly, the reflection made by the Financial Fiscal Commission, particularly in terms of the reflection to say the NES profit is dropping. I think if you can make a comparative analysis between 2010 and 2015, I think you will realize that to a certain extent there is a concern. We are raising this against the massive challenges that you are facing, the commitment that you have made, but now the fact that this recapitalization is still not happening. Let me just stop there, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. Honorable Chair. Oh, now you really, if you've got questions, you can ask. You are still on time to ask questions. Okay, fine. All right, we will allow then CEO and the team to respond. But let me also explain that we met with the Department of Trade and Industry in October. They were coming also to report on their annual performance. We raised this issue of recapitalization. I think Honorable Moiman and myself raised it in the meeting. We were sure that the department is addressing this matter, and that the CEO of NEF is part of that discussion. So that's the assurance that was given to us when we raised it. We met with the department in October. Last month. So I just wanted to also raise that it's a matter that we'll also be keeping on raising whenever we meet with the department. We will be meeting again with the department on the annual performance plans. We'll also raise the matter, get an update on the discussion that they say is continuing in addressing this matter. Yeah. I just wanted to highlight that. I'm going to allow you to then respond to the questions, and then if there are any follow-up, members are free to make follow-ups. But then I'm told that the video will be ready So after all the questions have been responded to, and then we'll play the radio, the video. I just want to indicate that, so before you even finish with the responses to the question, I will have to leave to attend to the Select Committee on Appropriation, and the Honorable Mwemang will take over the chair. So when you see me leaving, you must understand. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Members, for all the issues you have raised. I think if I can just summarize, I think you are raising a lot of very valid issues. It's issues that we've been grappling with as an organization. So I'll start with the issues that were raised by Honorable Lond, where he is highlighting the fact that as a country we are actually faced with a very high unemployment levels. He doesn't actually see how the NAF is actually responding to some of the key challenges that we are faced with as a country. And then he used examples of the 130 petrol stations that for him the numbers don't add up, because I made that example that we like the petrol stations because at least we know that in every petrol station you are able to at least create about 25 jobs. So when I was talking about this issue, Honorable Members, I did say that we do very small investments because we want to focus on the SMEs and medium-sized companies. So we take an SME, move it to being a medium-sized company and all the way to becoming a global player in the market. But if you own a petrol station, you are limited in terms of actually growing those numbers. Because if you are employing 25 people, it's going to be 25. You can't say you want to grow that petrol station, you know, into becoming, you know, a medium-sized company. So we're saying, even though we do very, very small investments, those small investments, SMEs, they are actually responding to the challenges that we're faced with as a country. Because sometimes we will do an investment of about, let's say we do a 1 million rand investment. That 1 million rand investment, even if it creates 4 or 5 jobs for our economy, for us, you know, that is sufficient. So we don't want to create the impression here that the NEF will be like which other DFI, so which can have one investment and then you create thousands of jobs. Ours are very, very small tranches of small investments. As we said, we start with 250,000 and we go all the way up to 75 million. But if you look at the average size of the other DFIs, they will start with transactions of 50 million, 100 million, and they can easily do invest 1 billion rands in one investment. The NEF takes 1 billion, and we try and spread it across. So the 2.4 billion over the last 10 years has actually reached more than 1,000 companies. Whereas if you were to look at your bigger DFIs, they can easily invest 200 million in one transaction, whereas with us, we take the 200 million and we spread it across many enterprises. But Honorable Lond, we are as equally concerned as you are. We are saying as the NEF, we have the track record, we have the expertise, we have the ability to make a contribution to the other macroeconomic challenges of this country. But surely, Honorable Lond, 2.4 billion over 10 years, it's not going to allow us to achieve the things that we talk about as a country. So we have a lot of black-owned SMEs who are continuously knocking on our doors, and they want to create, even if it's two jobs, or even one job for that matter, for us is still, you know, a good program. However, we have been lucky in that in some other transactions, like we are doing, there's the cotton gin project we are doing in Mpumalanga. That is a very exciting a project where the NEF has already invested about 30 million rands in support of 925 black individual members from 18 cooperatives. It's in Mpumalanga. So that project alone will create about 16,842 jobs. 16,000 will be direct and 200 will be indirect jobs. We are very, very excited about 16,000, yes.
You direct jobs.
Direct jobs. Oh, sorry. 16,000 indirect jobs,
yeah.
And 200 direct jobs.
Yeah.
Yes.
That makes
more sense. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. So, and then the co-ops are smallholder cotton farmers, and they possess about 1,970 hectares of land with a potential to grow to 11,000 hectares of land. So it would be two cotton gins that would be located some 350 kilometers from the farms. So we're not doing this alone, Chairperson. The total project size is estimated at 150 million. So the NEF has already invested. So when I was talking about the power of partnerships, Honorable Lond, the NEF has helped these cooperatives to actually come up with the feasibility studies, because you can have a concept. That concept has to be a bankable feasibility study. And that's the only way we're going to be able to actually attract other investors into the project. So in this investment, we have been able to secure the debt financing portion from the commercial banks, and there is another DFI that's going to be involved as well. So you're asking us also in your questions, you're saying, are we not are these entities not double dipping in that there's no coordinated approach amongst the DFIs? We work together with the other DFIs. We'll have our quarterly engagements. We will even, for instance, with the IDC, if you look at our black industrialist projects, we will say to the IDC, these are some of the black industrialist projects that we're involved in. Our limitation is the, is the 75 million rand exposure. That is our threshold, and then invite your IDC and other funders to actually come and co-invest with us. You can call it double dipping, but that's the nature of doing business, because even with your international DFIs, you'll find the ones that I know, for instance, AFD, which is Agence Française de Développement, works very closely with PROPACO, and PROPACO is the SMME financing arm of AFD. So you have to co-fund and co-finance, come up with those co-financing arrangements that would also allow the private sector to come and co-invest with you. So we work closely with them. CIFA, for instance, the current CEO, acting CEO of CIFA, is one of our employees. When they were struggling to find a CEO to fill that position, they came to the NEF after they had, had that the interviews. They were going through the recruitment process. They came to us as the NEF to say, unfortunately, we're not able to identify the kind of an acting CEO who'll have the requisite skills and the track record that we need. So that was last year. So he's been acting in that role for, I think, about 10 months now. So it just talks to the expertise that the NEF has in terms of supporting those SMEs. So we work together. If there is a project, because sometimes it's difficult for our black entrepreneurs to go and approach some of the, you know, commercial banks and your big DFI. So we handhold them. We will call the people on the other side to say, you know, this project, we have invested about 80 million, but the total size of the project is 1 billion. There's no way the NEF will be in a position to invest that kind of money. So I hope it helps to deal with the issue around, you know, the coordination amongst the various DFIs and the commercial and the commercial banks. Do you have a streamlined approach to ensure that the money goes out? And I think I have already tried to explain that, Honorable Lond. The restructuring and turnaround, the success rate, MZ will respond to that one. What is the outcome? MZ, Honorable Lond was saying, we're talking about it as a concept. We have a lot of exciting examples that we're going to share with you there. You are saying that you are worried about the fact that our black entrepreneurs can just walk into the NEF. It defines who we are as an organization. We always say that for even other, you know, with other banks, I came from one of the investment banks in South Africa. I used to see how, you know, other businesses would just walk into that investment bank if they needed help. So we have also tried to adopt the same culture. So those people are not just idling. Because sometimes as a black entrepreneur, remember when I was talking about some of the market failures that our black entrepreneurs, you know, are exposed to. Sometimes you don't even know where to start. So you just want this individual who will even say to you, it's a small group of young people, I think there are about five in that department. They don't just do walk-ins. They are dealing with pre-investment support for people who would have submitted their applications. But if there is a walk-in, we wanted to move away from these rigid structures that we are seeing, you know, in other areas. So our people, if you are an auntie from Soweto, you have this idea, you know how to bake this bread, you know how to bake the scones, you want an outlet to actually sell your goods to Pick n Pay. You can't put it in writing because you don't even know whether Pick n Pay will actually accept your goods. So what is, you know, what is the process that you should be involved in if you wanted to sell your bread to Pick n Pay? So when you come to the NEF, we'll then tell you that, wow, this is such a great idea. At least you have somebody who's going to be able to listen to you. If it's a big project, if people want to meet with the executive, I always encourage them that you must meet even if it's those big projects, because somebody wants to just bounce this idea off with you. So you must just spare them, even if it's 20 minutes, it doesn't mean that you don't have anything else to do. But do you know what it does? It actually gives our people hope that they actually have people who can listen to them. So I would say it takes about, for the division that is responsible for pre-investment, 20% of their work involves this interaction with the general public. It's actually also captured in our act. It's not something that we just do it because we want to do it. The NEF Act stipulates that the NEF will actually guide and educate our people about how to invest. And the reason why it's captured in the Act is because the people who crafted the Act were actually, you know, very aware of the limitations that our black entrepreneurs are faced with. So it's even worse when you're talking about our young people. Because if business is about being able to have your own networks. You can have a good idea, but if you can't pick up the call and talk to the executives at Pick n Pay or Woolworths, you wouldn't even know how to sell that particular product. So the three worst investments, I will talk about, maybe I'll allow Shengwe to talk about the others. the one that was, you know, we had tried everything to actually save that business is called Delsua. It was in the clothing industry. What was said about this investment after we had invested you know, the NEF funds in it, is that it was employing close to 500 people. Delsua was the second largest employer in the Northern Cape region. We did everything to actually save the business. At the time, we needed an additional investment of about 30 million just to assist us with the turnaround. We had actually assisted the business to get, they used to get contracts from companies like AXA, you know, some of the big corporates in South Africa. When we were able to secure the contracts, we didn't now, because of our exposure, the limitation in terms of how much you can invest in one business. Unfortunately, we couldn't, you know, increase our threshold in this particular business. We went everywhere, to the private sector, to government entities, because we're saying we can't allow this one business, you know, to go under, especially because they were the largest employer after De Beers in this particular region. Eventually, we managed to get one SEP, a strategic equity partner, who was willing to invest you know, money into the project, and that was SASFIN. But unfortunately, the relationship just didn't work out. I was driving those discussions. When we say that we go out of our way to actually try and assist our businesses, we'll not say, oh, you're having these financial difficulties, we're going to close you down. Mzi will talk to that when he actually comes in. So that was the one. And then in Eastern Cape, Sengwe will talk to the investment we had made in the Eastern Cape, which also unfortunately you know, gave us a lot of problems. And then you'll talk to ODM as well, Sengwe. So maybe let me allow you to talk to those projects. Thank you. Say, Sengwe, why they actually failed. They were our worst, you know, investments or failures, but it was so painful to actually, you know, see them collapse like that. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. So, On Digital Media was one of the new companies given licenses to do pay TV. So it was called Top TV. It's still around. It's called Star something now. So the NEF, the IDC, DBSA, and the private sector partners who were the satellite providers, we had all invested over just close to 2 billion rands. The NEF had invested 100 million rands into the project. And one of the key, you know, problems with the project was the fact that the competition was already well entrenched into the market. And actually, the case is still ongoing with the Competition Commission, because what was then discovered is that if you want to run pay TV, it will never be successful if you don't have a very attractive sports offering. So people go to pay TV for sports, because literally now with the digital world, you know, everyone can watch movies on their phones and so forth. So people don't really care about movies and so forth. They want sports. And the incumbent has all the sporting rights. So negotiations of, you know, sell the sporting rights on a delayed basis. I think the same challenges that the national broadcaster has been facing with the incumbent in terms of having sporting rights is what caused a lot of challenges for this business, because people subscribe to the hope that the sporting rights were going to come, and as the sporting rights were not coming on board in the offering, people were unsubscribing. But the other challenge we faced as collectively as the funders was the focus of the entrepreneurs. So because so it talks to when you're structuring transactions, who is the key jockey? We had a number of BEE groupings being partners on those projects, but there wasn't one individual whose head was on the block, you know, to say, so that if it's not working, we look you in the eye. There was a broad base of different stakeholders, and one of the biggest challenges that, you know, which is one of the challenges we see in business, that sometimes people can't differentiate between revenue and profit. So the you know, people wanted to benefit too quickly. They didn't want to allow the business space to grow. So they literally, everyone in the consortium wanted to be a service provider to the business. And because there was that natural conflict, people were not really providing services at arm's length. So we, as the different funders, then at some point had to take over the board, you know, sort of like fire everyone and try and enter to the business. So the business is still around, still employing people, but unfortunately, it's no longer owned by black people as originally envisaged by when the license. But because of our very strong legal standing, although we were the lowest funder into the project, we got back the bulk of the money because, obviously, because of the issues I'm raising around the behavior of the entrepreneurs, we believed that we had a case to pursue them personally. So we recovered 40 million rands, is it?
No.
Yes, we recovered 40 million rands from people who had given us guarantees because we felt they also contributed to and we're also able to negotiate a stake for ourselves in the new business with the new partners. But the issue of the competition is still ongoing. The second one, which was one of our, you know, I don't know how many trips we had to the Eastern Cape, or you know, to try and salvage this one. So this was a business that does it manufactures. Not bricks, the clay, not clay bricks, concrete bricks, yes. And when we funded this entrepreneur to buy this existing business in the Eastern Cape, which is, what's the Royal Air Ambulance?
In
Tanzania. Was because we knew of the government's projects around RDP housing. So the bricks that they make are perfect for RDP housing. So for us, the business model was a non-brain, you know, it was just going to work. They manufacture the bricks, they sell it to the people who have contracts to build RDP houses, and the business continues. So initially it worked very well. I mean, we gave this business about 38 million rand. They were able to pay us back 35 million rand. But unfortunately, when the Eastern Cape government was having challenges, they then can't pay the construction companies on time. The construction companies can't pay our client on time. Our client has to pay salaries, has to. So it started affecting the working capital cycle of the business, you know, and then there was one strike in 1 year, and the business, you know, in the hands of our entrepreneur collapsed, but there were then private sector companies that came and bought it. So it, for us, because, you know, this business was a good example of transformation of what government policies in terms of, you know, coordination can do for black businesses, it was very sad for us. I don't know how many times we visited the West Eastern Cape, asking the government there to help us, do they have grants, just to help this business, just to help this black entrepreneur to hold on to his business. Unfortunately, he could not hold on to his business, and it was bought by private sector people who had the cash to actually, you know, go through the cycles of late payments and so forth. So those are some of our sad realities. And in general, we have, you know, had huge disappointments around businesses that have got construction contracts. We've tried different models to say if we have a session with the government department, they pay us directly. some of the disappointments come from the creativity of the entrepreneurs themselves, where they go and change the bank accounts, and we think the money is still coming, and the money is gone. So, but at times, it's generally very, very late payments, sometimes 90 days, 180 days. By the time the government pays, the client has incurred high interest from the suppliers of materials and so forth, and already those businesses are very tight margin businesses, and it just results in their collapse. So those are some of the challenges.
Thank you. Hlengwemzi, can you talk about the restructuring and turnaround?
Thank you. Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chairperson. So we got the turnarounds, workouts and restructuring unit. I think what we know as a business reality is that sometimes businesses will go wrong. Some businesses will go into difficulties through various factors. Maybe the entrepreneur that was funded to do something wrong that affects the business, or the economic realities actually affect the businesses. One of the examples is the one that my colleague has just talked about. So we've got the restructuring and turnaround unit that actually deals with those transactions. Now, what we do is that when a transaction goes into difficulties, we actually come up with what we call a turnaround plan. Firstly, we establish whether it would be possible to turn around that business. Because sometimes, no matter how much you try, some business you'll not be able to turn them around. So we actually do the assessment, and we actually look at the opportunities of that business being turned around. And then we come up with a turnaround plan. And then we will have what we call a turnaround expert that we would actually allocate to that particular business. We as an organization, we pay for the turnaround experts to do that work, because by the time it goes into that situation, the business is in financial distress, it can't afford to pay for the assistance that it actually requires. So we've actually, I'll use maybe one example of a transaction that we've just finalized the turnaround for. It's in Limpopo. It's a business called Khusiami. So one of the bigger and older businesses in Limpopo. Now what happened is that with this business, we funded an entrepreneur. Unfortunately, there was mismanagement of the funds within the business. The business went into financial difficulties. We had to come up with a turnaround plan. We seconded some of our staff members from head office in Johannesburg to actually go and be based within the business and be interim management of that business. They came up with turnaround plans. They actually oversaw the operations, working with the employees and ensuring, because at the time when we're doing the turnaround plan, because we had bought the business from white entrepreneurs and they were not fully paid, so they were threatening to actually take it back because now there was breach of the contract. So we had to take a decision. Do we allow the business to go back to the people who had bought it from, or we actually rescue it? But if you rescue it, you have to actually ensure that there is future sustainability. It shouldn't be a business that continuously depends on the NEF financing. So we sent the colleagues there to do the turnaround of the business, and we injected additional capital, which was at that time 10 million rand. It has since repaid back that amount in full. And that business, it was employing close to 400 people at that time. So you're looking at various realities. If this business closes or it goes back into the old hands, there's going to be huge retrenchments within the business. And the business, it can actually become self-sustainable and profitable with the amount of jobs that it currently has. And that's what has happened. Over the last 3 years, we've been busy with a turnaround plan. I think one of the things to actually note with turnarounds is that they do take time. It's not something that you'll be able to do within 6 months or 12 months. So we had our turnaround plans mapped out over the last 3 years. It's actually now at a stage where it's profitable. We can actually, in the process of seeing how we pull out the NEF employees in the business to ensure that the current staff members, but we need to make sure that they are supported to be able to run the business going forward. And that business, over the last few years, we've invested close to 75 million rand in it, but it's paid almost half of that amount, and on a monthly basis it pays towards the NEF over a million rand, and it's actually profitable. We're now in the process of actually ensuring that it's got the right assets. I think there was at some point a threat that someone, because it was leasing property, wanted to take over. So when you do a turnaround plan, you actually look at various aspects of the business, and you need the time to make sure you put the interventions. And I think as a development financier, we're actually mindful of the development impact in terms of the job and the location of the business, and ensuring that going into the future, it's one of those businesses that will actually become profitable even after we've actually exited from it. I think the CEO touched on some of the ones that actually did not work, because there are some that don't work. She mentioned the example, which was Delso, where we actually put together turnaround interventions that are not successful. So what we know, though, is that in the ones where we are successful, we've seen more successes than where we've actually have not been successful. But where we've not been successful is instances where we've actually done our best, and we're actually comfortable that even when we leave, we have given the business every opportunity to survive. It just did not survive. So we've got those instances. There are other examples. See, I don't want to make too many examples. So
I agree.
Yeah.
Let's not make too many examples. Yeah, I'm just worried that you will begin to see members. Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues, and thank you, Honorable Chairperson. So we'll move on to the issues that were raised by Honorable Matebula. I will allow my colleague here, Mr. Mosipe, to respond to those issues. But on the one issue where Honorable Member wanted to find out if we have any offices in the rural municipalities, especially in areas like Giyani and those areas, Honorable Member, that's our wish. Would love to have a presence in those rural municipalities. But I have to inform you that even just for us to set up our offices in the regions, in the provinces, it was extremely difficult. We only have a staff complement of 170 people. And you can imagine if we're to have an office in Cape Town and then maybe have offices in Paarl, when in fact we only have about three employees here, in our office here in the Western Cape. The same would apply to the office in the Eastern Cape. Would love to, ideally, at least we're saying if we could have an office in East London, in PE, and then Umtata, it would actually make a huge difference. But unfortunately, we're limited in terms of, what and how much we can do in these areas. However, if one day we're able to get the full recapitalization of the NEF, it's something that we would actually look into. Even though we just have those few people in these offices, our colleagues from head office, they, through the mentorship support, post-investment work, they visit most of our investee companies. But we do, realize and acknowledge that it's not sufficient. We'd love to do more as well.
So with regard to when will the NEF be visiting the Limpopo, in fact, the NEF is in Limpopo this week, so later today I will get you the information in terms of where will the investor education teams be tomorrow and on Thursday as well. Thank you.
But she wanted to, the Honourable Member wanted to know specifically which areas we have been to before, previously.
Oh, so on page 31.
So we've been, Honourable Member, to Sesheho, Leboa Home, Liphalala, Bila Bila, Toyandu, Giyani, Phalaborwa, Tzaneen, Matsivandila, and the Matsivandila Agricultural College, and we'll provide more information on the new, it looks like Klingwe has the response. Can you just talk? Thank you, CEO. Burgers Fort, Old Municipal Council Chamber. Tomorrow will be at your account, Genfers. Then we're going to Makopane, Moshate, and Bakenberg, and Modimole. So, yeah.
So you'll advise us, Honorable Member, which ones you know you'd like to participate in.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have not actually we have not received that statistic, but we'll write back to the committee and provide the exact numbers. And then moving on to the issues that were raised by Honorable Landsman on slide 46, she was making reference to the active and non-active portfolio of our black industrialist project.
Honorable Boshoff, yeah.
Honorable Boshoff,
yeah.
A bit more attractive than Landsman. Boshoff and Landsman are very close. Thank you. Yeah, no, you're on the right check, CEO. It's just that you confuse the same names.
Sorry, Honorable Landsman. Okay,
I'll allow Klingwe to respond to Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you, CEO. So the status of active is projects that we're currently actively developing. So they're in different stage of development. Others are pre-feasibility, bankable feasibility, financial close, and others are operational. Non-active are projects that we have started to develop, but we've currently parked them. So we haven't cancelled them. So for example, let me make an example with Mabele Fuels. So if I'm sure the honourable members know about government's policy around biofuels. So that policy was gazetted and approved in 2012. And as a result of that policy, a number of development finance institutions and private sector investors started working on projects to produce biofuels. At some point, so everything was in place. There was just one policy that government had to issue around the pricing. So the subsidy mechanism, how once you've produced it, at what price do you sell it, and who pays what portion of the price. So the project was ready, it was fully funded, we had the OEM, Standard Bank was partnering with us, the PIC, all the contracts were signed. The CP that was outstanding is the pricing regime. We are still waiting for the pricing regime. So that's why the project is currently parked, because government has not pronounced whether now, you know, the biofuel strategy is being abandoned or not. But the act is there, which requires all majors to blend up to 2% of you know, normal oil with biofuels. But because the government hasn't finalized the policy around pricing, so it can't be enforced, because there was a natural offtake, because you know, there were only, our project was the first project to be fully licensed with no conditions, so it was ready to roll out. So that's the reason. So the Mkhondo biorefinery then is the same issue. And then the legal ones are projects that we had invested in. And for example, Fast Tech, the project has started operations, but the promoters did some funny things and we pursued them legally. So they are paying back our money that we had invested. The business is continuing, but we decided that they are not the type of entrepreneurs we want to partner with. African Silica, the project, we did the pilots, everything worked, but
this business needed an offtake to scale up to the next level, and it was finding it difficult to get the, those offtakes. So because it was a pilot plant, the legal process is just to dismantle the plant, sell it off, and get our money back. And then on the Gorge, I had also asked about the Gorge. Yeah, we're also very excited about the Gorge. Actually, last year we partnered with the Department of Tourism, who invested through our TTF fund, a grant of 5 million rands to the Gorge. We're then able to acquire the Big Swim Company. So now it's all one business. So I don't know when the Honorable Member was last there, but we are building, they are constructing, which the people who are adventurers can go. I'll just look at it from afar. You know those bridges to walk you from the Gorge side?
Floating.
Yes, the floating bridges. Thank you, Phil. To the swing side. And I think that the suggestions that Honourable Member was making are around having the walkways being longer is definitely something we'll take back to the entrepreneurs, and also the issue of the restaurants. We'll definitely engage the entrepreneurs. But the medium to long term goal on the Gorge is also to have a hotel that will be linked to the Gorge. So yeah, we are also very excited by the potential, and we take the suggestions and share them with the entrepreneurs.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Shengwe. And then coming to Honourable Landsman. So I think in a nutshell, what Honourable Landsman was saying is that he's just amazed at how much the NEF has been able to achieve with so little. I think I'm trying to summarize it. But then you were asking us to come up with measures that would allow us to reduce the inequalities that we're seeing in the country, and also you wanted to know what else are we capable of doing. As I said, the strange thing about our situation is that the private sector sees a lot of value in the NEF. You saw that slide that had a portfolio of our various partners. However, it's been difficult for us to either, move and proceed with this business combination between IDC and NEF, or to actually get support from our government just in terms of the way forward. Because remember, we informed you that two facilities have been approved by the IDC. However, the two facilities have not been dispersed because we couldn't meet the CPs from the IDC. So the IDC wanted to get an absolute, answer, confidence from our government to say they fully endorse this business combination. They wanted to get the same from Parliament, get the same from Cabinet to say you fully support, that business combination. So the transaction, they had conducted the due diligence on the NEF, they had approved it through their various committees, but they couldn't disperse, the money because Cabinet and Parliament has to give a go-ahead. That's what our colleagues are telling us. So you're saying, what else are we capable of doing? I always say to my colleagues here that one thing that stands out about the NEF is that you have everything that you need to actually, take this project of transformation forward because of our track record. If you were to allow a new entity to start all over again, it will take them years because you have to understand the different nuances. Slingo was talking about the work that we'll be doing with our provinces when we go to our provinces to say, please pay our SMMEs within the 30-day period, because if you don't do that, our SMMEs will collapse. But also our capacity, Honourable Member, to conceptualize projects from scratch,
because it's very well and good to invest when the project has been nicely packaged, it has been de-risked, but you need people who will assist the black entrepreneur to do that packaging. I always say, if you look at the renewable energy program, we have invested more than 200 billion rands in the country in the renewable energy program. But if you look at the black ownership, it's sitting at less than 10%. And the reason being that black entrepreneurs don't have the capacity to conceptualize, but they also don't have this funding that is required for those types of projects. So we could be involved in the new industries, in a whole range of other industries that have been identified, if we can get the requisite funding. But because we are trusted by many, then we'll be able to take our entrepreneurs to the commercial banks as well. And then coming to the issues that were raised by the chairperson, Honorable Msimang, you were making reference to the two outstanding CPs. So we needed the endorsement by Cabinet and by the National Treasury as well. And on this one, the DTI has actually made an undertaking to actually try and fast track this particular approval by Cabinet. So we're hopeful that they'll be able to finalize this issue maybe by the end of this financial year. You are worried about our concentration of investments in Gauteng. It actually depends on how active the provinces are, Chairperson. So as I mentioned earlier, that we always go to the various provinces and we'll say we want to work with you, we want to partner with you. But as you will know, the NEF doesn't have all the requisite, capital. So we would be actually waiting for the province to also make a commitment and say we are setting aside a fund that would allow the NEF to make investments in those particular areas. I've spoken about the partnership that we have with the Western Cape government, which emanated from the fact that we didn't have a lot of investments in the Western Cape. So they said, here's the fund. Can you please support our SMEs? We're doing something similar with the municipalities in Gauteng. We have a particular arrangement, even though they have not given us the funds, the KZN government, they are able to actually identify and conceptualize projects that will then allow the NEF to co-invest with them. So it becomes extremely difficult if you go to a province and there's no willingness to really engage and partner with the NEF. So, but we have come a long way. When we started coming to the committee maybe 6 years ago, the exposure towards housing was very high, and we've been able to gradually lower our exposure to housing. And then you were saying, obviously, we are concerned about the impairment provision and the operating deficit. I will allow the CFO to talk to these matters. So, Chairperson, as I mentioned to you, the NEF has not received any funding over the last 10 years. If we are looking at the business model of the NEF, we are like, our operations are like, the operations of a bank. So you must have money that you can invest in new loans, new advances, or new equity instruments. So you deploy those funds into the economy. And those funds are supposed to generate income for you. So if you lower your disbursement levels, obviously you are lowering the income that will be generated by your organization. So the way banks were structured is that you would have the shareholders who provide the share capital, and you use those funds to actually invest. So I think that's how most of the DFIs in South Africa were actually structured. There's no DFI that just, became a DFI, I don't know how. It's because there was a very deliberate effort by the then, you know, government to actually fund those DFIs so that they could fund the enterprises that had been earmarked for the funds, and then those enterprises would then repay the money. So with us, we have not been deploying a lot of capital into the economy. We've been trying to recycle the funds. They go out, the 3.5 billion came back, and then it has been redeployed. But if you look at the tenure of our investments, we also wait for about 7 to 10 years. So we are not a short-term investor. We actually invest in very long-term, opportunities that we've been looking at. Impairments, I think ours, if you look at our impairment provision, is comparable, with most of the commercial banks in South Africa, if not better. So the assessment we're making, yes, is correct, but I think it becomes difficult to look at our impairment provision that pertains to black companies in isolation to what is happening with the impairment provisions for white companies, because it's like minuscule as far as I'm concerned if you were to look at the impairment provisions that we are seeing from your large, financial institutions in South Africa. So black companies are not immune to the vagaries of the markets. We have told you that it's extremely difficult for most of the South African companies. So they have also been subjected to the same market conditions that the white companies are being subjected to. So I'll just allow the CFO then to talk to the operating, income, operating deficits, and so on, profitability of the NEF and so on.
Thank you very much, CEO. In terms of the, I think it's easier if I explain it from slightly technical perspective, and then we'll bring it back to the NEF performance. I think from an impairments perspective, we use an accounting standard called IAS 39, International Accounting Standards 39, and that International Accounting Standards allows you to put certain rules in place when you put together your impairment model. For example, when transactions move from one part of the NEF to the next, it requires you to impair that exposure up to the level of security that you've actually taken. So when transactions move, for example, from our post-investment units to our workout and restructuring units, it requires you to impair. And it's when it moves from our workout and restructuring units to our legal departments, it has to be 100% in place. Those are rules that need to be in place to make sure that we make our auditors happy that the way in which we conduct our impairments are correct. And then the rules around the way in which we do write-offs, in terms of the policy, and in terms of these policies also have to be in line with IAS 39. Those policies indicate that you can only write off a transaction after certain conditions have been met. And those conditions, for example, are that it has to be more than 100% impaired. And the second condition is that it has to, for example, have been more than 18 months in arrears. And those rules are in place to make sure that those get applied on a consistent fashion. I think if you look at the 2018-19 financial year, we only wrote off 10 million rands worth of investments. And then from an impairments perspective, we had impairments of 260 million. But I think what's important in trying to look at the NES performance, you obviously have to look at the key ratios. I mean, one of the key ratios is our cost-to-income ratio, which is sitting at 59%, which is in line with other financial institutions. You also have to look at our impairments to book ratio, and as the CEO has indicated, that given the type of clientele that we are assisting and also comparing with other DFIs, it's also comparable. I think if you look at the NEF's performance, you need to also understand what's also driving it. Remember, over the past couple, we've got a shareholding in MTN. We've got about 10 million rands or 10 million shares in in MTN, which comprises about a third of our balance sheet, and that has had a very significant impact in terms of financial performance on the NEF, because the share price of the of MTN has declined. When it declined, we were looking at the actual asset, MTN itself, has declined from a high of about 260 rand a share to, at year end when we were doing the financials, it came down to about 88 rand a share. I mean, just to put it into rand and cents, in the 2018-19 financial year, that had a negative fair value movement of about 300 million. So I think what obviously we are doing is trying to better understand the MTN as an asset itself. So it had an impact on the fair value side, but also had a slight impact on the income side, because the dividend that we typically expect from MTN was reduced. And if you were following the news media, the reasons why MTN was having those challenges, obviously because of the challenges it had in Nigeria and in some of the other markets that they were operating in. So I think if you look at the key ratios that are used to actually measure the NEF, it is doing fairly well, but there are obviously certain areas like the MTN shareholding that have a negative impact on it.
Thank you, Steve. Honourable members, I know that at the beginning we needed to watch a video. Are there any further questions or follow-up? Can we agree on the approach? You pose questions, then we then will expect then the team to forward them in writing, if honourable members are comfortable with that. I just wanted to check with that. Honourable Boshoff?
Yes, please. The first one is if the CEO could just give me the name of the co-ops in Mpumalanga that she spoke of. The 16,000 indirect jobs and the 200 direct jobs. And then I'd also like to know the gentleman at the right at the end here, just opposite me, spoke about the employees that they send out when they're busy with turnaround strategies. Are these employees from the area, or are they accommodated there, or do they have to travel to get to the place like Hosiami now? And if that is the case, what is the cost involved and who's responsible for that cost? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Boshoff. Just the last one from me. Busa met the equity interest over Busa met. Is it per hospital CEO or is it on the entire portfolio of hospital under Busa met? And then also the commitment in terms of the localization of all funded buses of the APM, I think the intercity passenger transport services, which company in South Africa assembled the funded NEF buses. Can you probably share that with us? But also the SMEs within the venture capital fund, particularly those that are operating within the arts and culture, complain that they are not receiving adequate support from government in terms of funding grants. Probably we can just share with us the NEF performance in that regard. Then can we then agree to create space for the video, and then thereafter we then will then bring the meeting to an end. The video, are you ready now, Mr. Mutsipe? All right.
One job.
Thank you.
There you go.
bus industry in South Africa has for many years made a vital contribution to the economic and social development of the country, providing mobility to millions of people who depend daily on public transport. In line with its mandate of growing black economic participation in South Africa, in October 2015, the National Empowerment Fund supported Africa People Movers, or APM, having approved 45 million rand to fund APM's expansion plans. The chief executive of APM, Mr. Dumisang Kabuyisini, is former CEO of Autopax, the passenger bus division of Prasa. He brings considerable industry and executive experience, having also headed Prasa Press, the real estate arm of Prasa.
We first approached the NEF when we started the business in 2014. Like any other aspiring entrepreneur, you always face this challenge that you've got a brilliant, bright idea, but you don't have the necessary funding or the requisite funding. And what was most heartening to us was that for my initial interaction with the NEF, there was never any negativity regarding our business plan. In fact, I always tell people that we're very fortunate that there were more, NEF seems to have been more excited at the time about our business than the founders were excited about the business. So we initially approached NEF for the 15 million rand funding, and they came back to us and said that in fact they wanted to do 45 million. As they say, the rest is history. Before approaching NEF, we in fact took our business to all commercial banks in South Africa, notably the Big Four, and the people were generally enthusiastic or polite about our business plan, but like any person with a great idea, I mean the pushback that you always have from the funders is that you are entering into an industry that is highly competitive. We are going to compete with the guys that have been around for over 30 years. And what makes you think that you will make it in this business? So while they, in theory, they wanted to support us, they were not too sure that that's the risk that they wanted to take. So the pushback was always, why don't you start this business, prove a concept, and we'll come back at the later stage to fund you. So we had a whole lot of commercial banks coming after the NEF had funded us. APM employs a total staff complement of 220 people, comprising of about 90 drivers. We have about 42 people in our sales offices, and the balance will be the administration, technical services, and the West Bay personnel. APM would have approximately 50 women, which would make up just over 40% of the entire staff complement. Then we'll have about 22 youth people under the age of 25. So these are the guys that joined the company about 18 months ago as artisans. So most of them are employed in the workshop as workshop assistants. Others are currently undergoing training with our customer service department, and others will be in the quality control. 70% of South Africa's population is dependent on public transport comprising bus, commuter rail and minibus taxis for its mobility needs. Of these, there are about 25,000 buses in the industry, of which about 19,000 are involved in formal public transport activities. My experience with the NEF to date has been a partner that one can rely on, a trusted partner. They go beyond giving you initial funding for the business. We interact with the post-investment team of NEF on a monthly basis.
The NEF, growing black economic participation.
Over 9.5 billion rand for black entrepreneurs across the country.
and has supported black industrialists in enterprises collectively.